Praise the Lord.
I mean, praise in whatever dimension, whatever praise means. Will there be a people created that will do whatever praise means to do? Okay. For he looked down from his holy height, from heaven the Lord gazed upon the earth. From the spirit realm he looked on the natural, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to set free those who were doomed to death. Now let me just tell you what you just read. There will be a people created who understands praise in such a dimension that the bonds and the chains and the prison of death will no longer hold them. Do you read that? Is that laid in your lap? Whatever praise means. Now, I think it's biblical. I think that you give 5 or 6 or 7 different ways of praising the Lord, and I think the Scriptures tell us these ways. I think that's what we basically teach. But whatever's going outside of us, is it should be going on the inside of us. Why dance if you're not happy on the inside, right? If you're not dancing on the inside, why dance on the outside? And what I'm wanting us to see here is that what he said this while ago is there's a generation that's going to come that will praise the Lord, and that same generation will loose the bondages of death. Is that in the Bible?
Yeah.
That men may tell of the name of the Lord in Zion. Me and my wife has had some interesting conversations as of late. We're trying to determine what is the difference about the church and about the world. Best thing we can come up with so far is that people that say they're Christians come to church. That's about the only difference. I mean, that's has the world affected the church? Sure has. A lot more than the church is affecting the world. I'll leave it alone because I don't want to get negative this morning. I'm going to stay as positive as I can. And his praise in Jerusalem, his praise, Jerusalem becomes his city. It's the city where God has declared. It becomes the city that's in Revelation 21 and 22. It becomes the city of God, Jerusalem. Zion is the church. Read that if you want to in Hebrews chapter 12. And then verse 22, when the peoples are gathered together, there we are. This is where this praise comes from, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms begin to serve the Lord. So I just wanted to say that. I just wanted you to know that praise has got something to do with overcoming the last enemy. And he was sharing from his heart as he shared that he didn't feel like he was living in the generation that would do this because it wasn't being exhibited in a praise. That's what he was trying to communicate. And I really felt like that probably went over most of our heads. So I wanted you to see. When people are encouraging you to praise the Lord, it's not because we're trying to beat you or doing anything. Like we see things in the Word of God that are. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. He's talking about those things, and I just want you to see that one of the things that's going to bring back the Lord Jesus Christ will be a people that know how to praise Him. Praise is such a thing in the kingdom of God, and I just wanted to read that and let you see it now. If you will look with me in 1 Chronicles, chapter 10, 1 Chronicles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 1 Chronicles. I'll give you a few minutes to get there. This is not what I thought this is what I was going to be sharing about today, but I found out that it wasn't. This is where I had, but when I got this morning, I just could not get into this. 1 Chronicles 10, but I just want to bring this because it was something that I feel like the Spirit spoke to me to do, and I want to do it. I want to be obedient. I'm trying to be obedient to the Spirit of God. What 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13 and 14 tells us is Saul is dead, and it tells us why he's dead. It tells us who killed him, and it says some things. But in verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 10, are we there? I'll wait just a few more seconds. Okay. So Saul died. Why? Right. For his trespasses he committed against the Lord, number one. Because of the word of the Lord, which he did not keep. Why did Saul die? It didn't keep the word, and we could just read that Psalms, and there's going to be a people that's created that's going to keep the word of God. And also because, why? Not just because it didn't keep the word, but what else? Saul nailed his own coffin to. He put the last nail in it when he went to the witch. Saul has a date with the witch, and he went to the medium. He went to the spiritist. And also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it. So there, that's why Saul died. And then there's where my statement's going to come from, but read verse 14 with me too. And did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him. Who is he? Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom of David, the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. Now, first of all, you've got to see, if you understand what I just read, you understand that God is in charge of everything. Who holds the keys of death and hell? Right, Satan doesn't, the Lord does. He always has, he always will. Okay? Now, he's after you, Satan is after us, and that's where my message is going to go in just a minute. But what I want to bring right now is the Lord told me that I felt like he pressed on me to do something, and that's to release people this morning. There are people that I feel that come to this church and they can't get away, and I feel like the reason they can't get away is basically because I haven't released them. Now, maybe you agree with that, or maybe you don't. I remember a while back there was some things going on, and things kept hanging on, and there was division in the body, and there were people being hurt and devastated, and I would not release people. I would not. I just kept praying and praying that they would stay, and they would stay. And finally, one day, I got down in my office and I prayed and I released them, and some folks left. They'll be back one day, but they left. Now, here's what I'm wanting to do this morning. I'm wanting to release people. I don't want to use manipulation. I don't want to use witchcraft on you. What I see here that killed Saul was, number one, he wasn't obedient to the Lord. And number two, he used witchcraft. Is that right? Word and witchcraft is what nailed Saul's coffin to. And God killed him. So what I'm doing this morning is releasing people. If people aren't gathered here, if you're not gathered here, then somehow I have some controlling power or spirit over you, and I don't want to do that any longer. I want people gathered here because people want to gather here. All right? I'm tired of warring and battling and fighting. I've learned that the enemy's not in this church. Well, sometimes he might be. Well, I'm saying the enemy is not ourselves. We've got a devil that we need to fight. We need to stop bickering and quarreling among ourselves and get on with the real enemy, who is the real enemy, the devil himself, and start coming against what he's trying to do. Amen? And I get up here on Sunday mornings, and I go through warfare. I have such good messages. And I get up here and labor and struggle, and they don't come out like I want, like they would. And I get people mad at me, and I don't want to do that anymore. And so if that's what it takes, I'm not interested in multitudes, I'm interested in disciples. I've learned I can't have multitudes anyhow. I've decided the Lord did not raise me up to have multitudes. He raised me up to make disciples. So I'm doing that. I don't want no more witchcraft. I'm not manipulating anymore. I'm releasing. If you come here, come here because you want to. Come here because you want to learn something about God and you feel like this is the place you can come. Come because this is where you want to be covered by this eldership and by this church and where you want to come and praise and worship God.
Amen.
Now, the message. If you study the nation of Israel, Israel becomes a type of the church. The nation of Israel becomes the church. Stephen preached about that in Acts 7, about verse 45, 47, something like that. And he gives the progress of the nation of Israel. And the first thing we find about Israel is they were in Egypt. It becomes a type of salvation. We've got to get saved from Egypt, don't we? In 1 Corinthians 10, did Paul talk about how they come out of Egypt and pass through the sea? You've got to pass through the sea. You've got to come out of Egypt. That's your initial salvation. And we're into the wilderness. Okay? That's a time of growing, Loanne. That's what you said a while ago. It's where God does some things in you. And he'll let the old generation die off so that he can take the new generation in. Talked some about that already this morning. So we're talking about maturity here. This is where you become and get some maturity in you. The fire, the things start happening to you. You decide if you're going to war or not. You have an opportunity to decide if you want to go into the land or not. See, that's what happens to you in the wilderness. The third thing that happened to them is they went into Canaan, didn't they? That's the promise. Now, did they drive out the enemies? Did they obey the word of the Lord here? They did not drive out the enemies. Okay. The next thing we find out that happened is they went into Babylonian captivity. Does Revelation talk about Babylon? Does Revelation say, come out of her, my people? Right. Chapter 18, verse 4. Come out of her, my people. 3 or 4. I think it's 4. So, the nation of Israel went back into captivity, back into Babylonian captivity. Why? Right. Because it didn't drive out the enemies. And what happened is that the enemies began to bring its worldliness into the Jewish nation. They began to worship their gods. Am I right? Is that what the Bible teaches us? They began to worship their gods. That's pretty much what's happened to the church today. We haven't confronted the enemy. And so what's happened is that the enemy has then infiltrated our churches. And believe it or not, we're in Babylon. But the story doesn't end there. They go back to Canaan. And this time they bring the kingdom. Now, Christ comes. Now that's where the picture, I just wanted to give that because that's just what's happening. That's where we're at right now. That's kind of an overview of God's timetable. Now, Esther, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Esther. I'll wait again. Good thing we got an index for that thing, isn't it? See, this isn't to do with David. My message was David. I was going to talk about Saul's death, and I was going to talk about the heart of David and how he mourned over Saul and how he touched not God's anointed and those kinds of things. I was talking with Lance last night, and I told Lance, I'm not even sure I'm supposed to preach tomorrow. I got this morning, and this started getting in me, and this started coming. So I really feel that this is what I'm supposed to be bringing. And it won't take me long. It won't, really won't. Come on, folks. I promise. Come on, man. Release me. Release me to get through here. Okay. Esther 4:13. You there? Esther 4, verse 13. That's good. This could be an all-day message, but it doesn't. There's no need to be. I've already preached most of them, just summarizing it now. Then Mordecai told them... I'm in chapter 4. See, if you had been listening, all laughing at me... Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you and the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, say at this time, there is a time in God. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. And you and your father's household, say, me and my father's household, me and my father's household will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty, King James has come into the kingdom, for such a time as this. Then Esther told them in reply to Mordecai, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens will fast in the same way, and thus I will go to the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. I believe we're at a time where we've got to come to the place, the church has got to stand and say, if I perish, I perish. What's happened here in the book of Esther is there's a character whose name is Haman, and he has devised a plan to kill all the Jews. Haman is a type of Satan. He's out to kill God's people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, is the devil out to kill you? I mean, we need to understand that the devil is after us. And the thing that I want to grasp is, does he have a plan? Does the enemy have a plan to come against the church? He's probably got a much better plan to come against the church than the church has got to come against him. I see his plan working. Devil has a plan. Now, if not Mordecai and Esther been where they were, and not only been where they were, but stood at the set time, would God then have allowed the enemy's plan to work? Would there have been a devastation of the Jews? Sure. And Haman's not the only person that ever had this plan. Hitler had that plan, okay? And it's still going on. It's just bigger now. The enemy still wants to kill the church. He still wants to kill God's people. It's always been his plan. There's always been enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between her seed and the seed of the serpent. And it's still going on. And so that's where we're at today. Now, I want to bring this to you in a way I hope that it'll speak. What began to happen is around the turn of the century, there became a theology change. The church's theology differed from what it was before the turn of the century, and I'm not going to prove this to you. I think you understand that I know enough about church history to know that I'm telling you the truth. But around the turn of the century, a message began to come forth that had never been preached before. And it was readily consumed by Christians. And it's called the escape theology. Or we could put it better, the rapture. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 does say there will be a catching away. And we will go and meet the Lord in the air. And that will happen. All right? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying there. That will take place. But it had never been preached in this way. The way it began to be preached at the turn of the century was that Christians would not be going through any kind of a tribulation or any kind of purification. And it is my personal belief, and hear me what I'm saying, it's my personal belief that I don't believe that you'll have a New Testament church, a New Testament Christianity like we read in the book of Acts without that kind of persecution.
Amen. Amen.
I think there's a certain environment that is required to bring about that kind of a purity, that kind of a commitment where if I die, I die. I mean, you just didn't casually go to church when Pharaoh, not Pharaoh, but Caesar was around. I mean, you had already said, if I die, I die. Turn of the century, here comes this message, and it's all of a sudden an escape message. Church won't be going through anything. And so what I want to do real quickly is just bring what this has brought, what I feel that this has brought. This is what happened in the spirit. This is what began to be proclaimed. This is Satan, to me, this is Satan's plan. Now, this began to be taught. And it was readily eaten. It was eaten. Is that eaten? Well, 1920 became an age called the Roaring Twenties. Is that right? Morals began to go down. Divorce rates began to go up. All of a sudden, you started hearing things and seeing things that you just hadn't saw or heard before. This moved on to the 1940s, time of the Depression. But the main thing here is that, like liquor was made readily available, it was made legal. Okay? Things such as pornography really began to come forth in the 40s. Divorce rates climbed higher. Murder rate began to get up. Christians wouldn't battle such issues because we're going out of here. Had little to say. It kept on going. Just kept being preached and even taught and preached more fervently. 1962. Can anybody tell me what landmark happened in 1962? Prayer was out of school. All of a sudden, Christians just laying back and say, well, why do we care? We're going to fly away. And that's what we came with. That's the kind of songs that we sang when we came to church. Is this not right? This was our theology. We sing our theology. We sing about the kingdom and the lordship and Him being king and creator of everything and ruling over everything. That's our theology here. That's why we sing it. That's why I get so excited. And if this is your theology, then that's what you're saying as well. So whatever your theology is what you sing. That's why Paul says, sing the Psalms. Took prayer out of school. 1962. And I want to stop just a second here on this one. Church was convinced it would be raptured out any minute. So why worry about it? And what we did with that theology was hand our school systems over to Satan. Come on now. Amen. You took God out, you gave it to Satan. And he took it. That's Haman's plan. His gallus is the gallus of humanism. And he wants to hang you and your children on it. Darkness now rules the school system. Amen. I pity you teachers. I really do. I do. You got to walk in that stuff every day. You walk in and there's a canopy of darkness in there. We were praying, was it Friday morning? And I asked the men that were praying, I said, close your eyes and get in the spirit and tell me where you see the darkness in our area. And we saw it over the school system. I can prove it. I can prove it's darkness. Since that point in time, moral depravity has come into the school in such a way that has never been precedented. It's drugs in the school. It's promiscuity. Sexual liberality. Lance was telling me that down in Griffin, Griffin is a huge school. It's one of the largest ones in the state. But anyway, he was telling me that when he was in school, that some of the kids would sneak off into the auditorium, have sexual relationships right there. Drugs, promiscuity. How about rebellion? Huh? Witchcraft? Alcohol? That's alcohol. So that's what I'm wanting us to see. Darkness. That's darkness. Is that not darkness? Yeah. Is that not the work of evil spirits? Indeed. Is that not the work of the devil himself? He wants the woman and he wants the seed. Now, you're a woman or you're a seed, or you're both. And so he wants this. Now, and we giggle and we, well, what effect has this had on me? Well, what about the Ted Bundys? What effect did this have on somebody like a Ted Bundy? That maybe the only contact that he would have ever had around prayer was at school. Could it have possibly done something that would have saved that man's life and saved the lives of all those young women that he mutilated? What is this to me? I don't have any children in school. Well, have you got any grandchildren? Have you got any nephews? Have you got any nieces? Do you want to see the kingdom come to Lafayette? Do you want to see the kingdom come Walker County, Catoosa County? Do you want to see the kingdom come in this area? Do you realize there's got to be a righteous seed to bring the kingdom? Amen. This went on. Let me go on with my years. Something happened then in 1972. Roe versus Wade. Abortion. Which way is our society going? Are you seeing this? And again, 1972, Christians all involved with the rapture theology, the catching away, getting out of here. Man, this is a bad place. I'm leaving. I'm going to go borrow money at the bank, get me a big house, because I'm going to leave it to the devil anyhow, and he's going to have to pay my bills. That was taught, folks. That was literally taught. Well, abortion, who cares anyway? We're going. Somewhere around 1980, somehow God broke through some spiritual powers and authorities, and he began to bring a word. And he began to challenge some theologies, and he began to challenge some folks and some thinking. All of a sudden, a question was presented, well, maybe we're not going so soon. Maybe. Let me say something. Is the devil planning on leaving? The devil doesn't have a rapture theology. His theology is to overcome you, or he doesn't have a theology. The devil's idea is, did you hear how I say that? It was to overcome you. But we're getting out of here. We're going to give it to him. Haman's plan. And do not imagine that you in the king's palace, are you in the king's palace? That you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. Now, do you see any attachment, or are you seeing anything happening here? Are you seeing a plan evolve? I've just read the book, Piercing the Darkness, which is the book by Pettit that we read, a lot of us read, about piercing the darkness. This present darkness, now it's piercing the darkness. At any rate, the guy gives an analogy there about mole holes, and he's standing at a fence, and there's a mole hole on this side of the fence, there's a mole hole on that side of the fence, and there's a mole hole over there in the neighbor's yard. Now, the analogy is this. That's probably the same mole. And we see the mole holes. Here's a mole hole. Here's a mole hole. Here's a mole hole. How many knows it's the same mole?
Right.
It's the same plan. The enemy wants all of it. So here we are today. We're living in a time where technology, we have a society that is so above its technology that it's unreal. It's just unreal. Our moral guidance, we have none. Abortion issue is bad enough. We know no longer what is right and wrong. Our society and our morals have so escaped our biblical principles and precepts. Not only do Christians think that abortion is okay, but we also won't stand up when they start taking these aborted fetuses and making them into cosmetics for women. We're living in a time where there's no right or wrong anymore.
Right.
Folks, if you have a problem that abortion is wrong, you sure to God know that taking these fetuses and making them into cosmetics is wrong.
Right.
The second thing, I just want to mention this in passing. So many things are changing all around us, but you don't realize it, but we're about to lose the right to discipline our own children. It's starting to be called child abuse. Just a simple spanking, a swat on the butt, is starting to be called child abuse. If you don't like it or not, devil. Still, it's starting to be called, there's precedence is being set right now in the court. And here's the devil's plan. He plans today for tomorrow. All we're thinking about is today. We have no plan. We have no real purpose. We have no real attack plan. We're gone. We're going. Why plan? We're going.
Yeah.
But Matthew 16, verse 18 says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I want you to know the devil is going to lose. He's going to be hung on his own gallows. The church is going to rise because it's the day. It's the time. It's this time. It's the time. I believe, if I understand scriptures correctly, the church is to lead and not follow. It's a light on a hill. Amen? It's the salt of the earth. I believe that the church is to make a difference. I believe we're to be the thermostat and not the thermometer. I believe we're supposed to control what society is doing and not go along with what society is doing.
Amen.
Now, that's the church that I understand. That's the church that I read about. This is the church that I see that Paul preached and Jesus preached. A church that comes forth and dictates and determines what's happening rather than just being a part of what's happening.
Praise God.
A church that affects society rather than society affecting the church.
Amen.
So the issue of prayer at ball games has now come up. Woman named Jane Clark called me the other night. And this woman, we found out, she's a Christian, but she's not what we would call a committed Christian. I hope she doesn't get this tape. Anyhow, I love you, Jane. That's just what I heard. That's hearsay. I mean, I shouldn't have even said that. I'm sorry. I apologize. I take that back. But my principle is this woman is more concerned about about them taking prayer out of school than us pastors are concerned.
Right.
They asked me and a bunch of other pastors to please go down and lead us in prayer, and none of us would do it.
Right.
And I can't blame it on I'm getting out of here. I don't care anymore. You see, I can't blame it on that.
Right.
I know I'm not.
Right.
So there's a cowardly in me. Revelation tells that the coward won't go in. Where do we draw the line? When do we say that is enough? We understand your plan. You see, that is the only time, once a week, Friday nights, that so many of those people are ever prayed around or over. And again, Haman's plans at work. Is this all right?
Amen.
Do you see the mole?
Amen.
Same mole, different holes. Kill the mole, you stop the holes.
Right.
He says, don't imagine that you can escape. I tell you, our children are being poisoned. Prayer's out of school, so God's out of the school. Our only hope now is the Christian teachers that are there, and thank God for them. But if something doesn't happen, our children, our grandchildren, will be destroyed by humanism.
Right.
We're getting God further and further away from it, and we're letting it happen.
Right. It's our responsibility.
Who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this? Are you born again? Are you a child of the King? Are you royalty? Well, who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this? Why are we in the kingdom of God? Why are you in? Why am I in? Why is this church here? What is so different about this work that's different than any other? Who do we think we are? There's a purpose for the church. And if I understand the church, it is supposed to prevail against the gates of hell.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It is supposed to overcome. It is supposed to be a light set on a hill. It's supposed to pray that the kingdom would come in the earth. And I've got to come to the conclusion, if I perish, I perish.
Amen. Amen.
The woman called me. Pastor Young, would you pray? Oh, blah, 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 blah. I might be going out of town. Come to find out, all the pastors had to go out of town. You see, I haven't come to that place. If I perish, I perish.
Well,
we got some thoughts. We're working on some things. So see, here we go. I'm just sharing my heart with you this morning. This is what's in me. Now, who's going to help? Who's going to make the declaration? Amen. Let me get your hands up. Come on, folks. We got to stand one day. Amen. What if we all just walk down there one day and say, would you please stand? We're going to pray. And it's going to come to that. It's going to come to that if we can't get it through the right procedures, okay? We're going to try to do it right first. We're going to try to go. We're going to try to go to the leaders. We're going to try to go to the principal. We're going to go to the school board. And we'll go to the state if we have to, okay? We're going to try to do it right first. But I promise you, I'm not giving him this, okay? Not giving him this.
Praise God. Praise God.
See, I see his plan. I see the molehill. Now, this is what the Spirit spoke to me this morning. I want to see the kingdom come so badly. I want to see it come on earth as it is in heaven. I want to see a righteous people. But this is what the Spirit spoke to me. You can't do it without the souls of the children. You can't do it without the souls of the children. The mind, the emotions, the will, the intellects of the children. You can't do it. It's impossible. So as long as the devil can get to the school system, then he can get to our kids. Now, there's two choices. Now we're going to battle the prayer. Understand that, okay? We're going to battle. We're going to war with this. That's for sure. But here's the conclusion that you have to come to after this. One of two things. We either have to infiltrate that thing, that system, and bring it to the place that it can be a righteous place for our seed. Or we're going to have to start one right here. Those are the only options that I see, folk. Now, one is infiltration. It's going to take a while. The other one is pretty quickly. But I'm just sharing with you the thing that's in my heart, okay? The thing that the Spirit of God is beginning to impress upon me And this was the year that we were supposed to start the school. In our original game plan, in our 50-year plan that we originally set down and made up, this was the year. So it's heavy on me. We're casting our children to Moloch. They have possibly, and I'm going to be very lenient here, I'm sure, possibly, maybe your child maybe reads 1 hour a day. Let me just do that. 1 hour a day, he gets the scriptures and prays and spends time with the biblical precepts and principles. Maybe 1 hour. Let's give it 1 hour. How many thinks I'm lenient on that? Amen. I know I'm lenient. But how much humanism is put in him or her? How much of the world, how much does it sit in front of the television? How much of the world is put into it? And we want strong children. We want strong churches. You can't have that when humanism is so affecting. Amen? So one of two things is going to have to happen. Now, if we want to see that, then that's the direction that we're going to have to be moving in. We're going to have to either infiltrate or either we're going to have to start. Now, again, you might say, I don't have children in the system. What about your grandchildren? What about your nephews? What about your nieces? What about your namesakes? Okay? Satan plans today for what he'll do tomorrow. He plants it today, and it happens. He began this rapture theology, turn of the century, and you can kind of see what's happened. He came in here and took out prayer in 1962. Now in 1989, 90, he's wanting to totally remove it even from the ball games. And he's totally making darkness more darker. And that's going to happen too. But I'm just wanting to, when do we stop? When do we stand? When do we proclaim? That's enough. Haman, we understand your plan. We got it now. We're going to battle you. And if I die, I die.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Lord, I don't know really what was accomplished.